Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's John Spellman. He is a professional storyteller who is performing here in 2 weeks.
I had a whole special treat planned. I came all the way up here on a Greyhound bus with my dog. And I want you to see my dog because my dog does tricks. And I wonder, you know, because you're doing all this taping and stuff, and she sings a song. And I thought if we could get her on there. And so I brought her up. They got this elevator right here so she wouldn't have to come up the stairs. She saves her energy before she performs. And I was going to bring her out that elevator, and I had her on her, you know, right here on her little leash and everything. And this guy came up. He says, "What is that thing?" I said, "What you mean?" He says, "The thing at the end of that rope, what is that?" I said, "It's my dog." "That's a dog? That's a dog? That's the ugliest thing I've ever seen." I said, "Well, sir, I guess tastes vary, but it's my dog, and I'm going to bring her in here, and she's going to perform." He says, "This is U.S. government property." I said, "That's right." He said, "You can have that thing perform?" I said, "Yes." He says, "You know, we're responsible for people, particularly because they haven't paid for their tickets here." He said, if that dog performed before an old person, that dog is so ugly, somebody could have a heart attack and die. You know, I thought he was kidding me. He wasn't. He was really worried about it. I had to take the dog down in the basement and tie it up with all the rat traps down there. And I'm upset, Ken. But I'm just going to have to tell you about my dog instead. She's not a monster. She's only about this long. That's what, a foot and a half, 2 feet, about this high. She's brown and white spots. She only weighs 40 pounds. And where I bought her in Citrus County, Florida, I paid $50 for her. And over $1 a pound for a hunting dog, that's good money. And she's a smart dog. I mean, it's worth the money, I think. She's a fast runner. She's got a good nose, a good, you know, good song. She's fine. She's got a few problems, and I've worked on her problems with her. I mean, he didn't know anything about the problems. She's got one thing, is she really likes shoelaces. And all these running shoes that people are wearing now, you know, and I see a bunch of them here. She likes that nylon stuff. And she'd chew on that. So when I've had her, you know, at places where people wear those shoes, it's been kind of embarrassing because she really chews them up. So a while ago I was working with her. Actually, I was down visiting a friend in the Everglades, which also happens to be federal government property. And we were out in this grassy area, and I was throwing stuff like old shoes and shoelaces, and she would chase them, and she'd bring them back. I would reward her. And you can teach an old dog new tricks because she was learning to avoid that stuff. And then I would throw things that she liked, and she would go get those. And fast runner, she's having a ball. We hadn't really been out like this for a long time. And I threw something she liked over in the grass, and some U.S. government employee, I guess, had been over there the day before cutting that grass with a scythe. You know, this big, long, curved blade, and they keep them so sharp for cutting that grass. It not only left the scythe like some jerk sitting in the grass where maybe you could have cut your foot on the bottom of it, it was wedged up between some rocks or something. The blade was sticking up like a leg on a stool, that sharp blade. And Dee Dee never saw it, and I sure never saw it. I wouldn't have thrown anything over there. And the poor thing was running along lickety-split, and she turned right into that blade and went right into it nose on. And the poor thing was running so fast, she got cut exactly in half, from the tip of her nose right down through the tip of her tail. And as I watched, my little dog was running along like this, and it's all of a sudden, bloom, two halves. And I said, "Oh, shoot. There goes $50. But I'm a quick thinker. And when I was in school, I had some first aid training, and I thought I remembered a trick or two. So I ran over real quick. I picked up her two heads, and I jammed them back together just as hard as I could. And then to hold her together, I put her between my knees and squeezed, and I peeled off my shirt, and I wrapped her up real tight like a giant bandage. And I ran back to this cabin I was with, and in the back of my truck, I had some kerosene, and I made a little bathtub thing out of kerosene, and I put her in the kerosene because I'd heard that kerosene will cure cuts. Big, big, big cuts. Now, maybe that was a mistake, but I don't think so, because you'd think, well, I was sure that after an accident like that, she had, what, a 50% chance of pulling through. So I was worried, but you know, inside of 10 minutes, that little dog opened up her eyes, and she looked up at me, and she whimpered, and she licked my wrist, and that's her signal for water. And I gave her water. She held it. about a quart of water. And the next day she seemed to be better. She wanted milk, you know, so she got milk. The day after that, Florida dog, you know, she wanted orange juice, and she got orange juice and dry food, dog food, horse meat, right up through her food chain. Now, this is the hard part of the story to believe, but exactly 2 weeks after that accident, almost to the hour, I went in to check on her in the kerosene, and she wasn't there. I thought, my God, she drowned, you know, and I'm down. But it wasn't that deep. And then I saw this kerosene puddle going over toward the back door, and she'd pushed her way through that screen, and she was out in the back trying to chase a raccoon. But she was dripping kerosene, and she's all wrapped up in my shirt. But she seemed to be, you know, I says, well, nature's speaking to me. So I caught up with Dee Dee, and I held her down, and I real careful, I took that shirt off her. And she had healed up just perfect. Now, I don't know whether it was the fabric of the shirt or the running or the kerosene or just a will to live. But she has healed up perfect. Well, she's got a scar, you know, all the way around her body. But you don't notice that because her hair's grown back. So I don't know. Well, maybe. You know, if you see a dog like that get off the elevator or something, you've had a kind of stressful day, maybe it could scare you. Because I did make this one mistake. In my hurry to save her life, when I pushed her pieces back together, I jammed them back together upside down. And so now my dog has two legs up and two legs down, and a head and tail at each end. And somebody said, Mister, your dog won't know whether it's coming or going. But I'll tell you, I think she's a superior animal in every way, really, to what she was before that accident, really. She won't chew nothing and like shoes anymore. And she's great to be in the city with, like here, you know, because she's a wonderful watchdog. She can bark at either end, you know. And I bet she can outrun any dog in the city of Washington, because she just runs along on those two legs till they get tired, and she flips over and she runs along on the other two.
John Spellman with, you call that a tall story?
That is a tall tale. Only is it a tall tale, but it is told by a character. In other words, usually when professional storytellers tell our stories, we are us. That's the point. We are ourselves telling a story. But every once in a while, a storyteller will take on a character. This character, John tells a number of stories in his voice, so to speak. His name is Yancey Register. And he is what's called a rural raconteur or a talkin' teller. And he tells the good old country yarns and recreates the wise culture of the North American oral tradition.
He had me going along with him. I was believing him for a little while, and then it just went off the rails.
Tall tales are like stand-up comedy in the way that the timing has to be really precise. It's a real art form because you have to do exactly what you just said. You have to get people believing in every word, and suddenly you go off the rails.
The character, not exactly dumb, but certainly funny.
Not dumb in any way. He's intended to have that folk wisdom. He might be not educated, but he's supposed to be a wise man. And this particular performance was captured on CD. He was live at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington. So the storyteller's no dumb guy either, believe me.
Now, John is coming to town. Is he going to be doing this Yancey character?
No, he's not completely. He may do a little bit of Yancey, I don't know. But he is doing stories from his experiences in Florida. Some of it may be folktale, some of it may be just his own reminiscences. But he is a world-class storyteller. He's won Emmys, and he is at the top of his game.
Is he from Florida?
No, he's actually right now living in Phoenix, Arizona, was living before that for a long time in Baltimore, and I think that's where the connection with the Smithsonian may have come in.
And where is he performing?
He is performing at Moonlight Tales, which is a story and song cabaret, along with Linda Schuyler Ford, whom you will hear next week on The Public Storyteller, and yours truly, Karen Neal, and an amazing Miami band called Bachato that does Latin reggae roots music. So this is going to be at the Broward County Main Library. That's 100 South Andrews Avenue. and it is 7 to 9:30, Friday, February 23rd. Outdoors, under the stars.
Well, John is a professional storyteller. Are there opportunities for amateur storytellers in South Florida?
Oh, absolutely, Michael. 2 weeks from tonight at the Boca Raton campus of Florida Atlantic University, there is another Vox Storytelling Slam. That's in the Living Room Theater Cafe, and it starts promptly at 8 o'clock. It's free and open to all.
So if people would like more information about Vox or telling a story on the Public Storyteller, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email, cneile, that's C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Contact information as well as archive stories can also be seen at our website, wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.